Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, when you look around this world, when you look outside, you begin to make decisions based upon the weather that's around us. You guys remember that proverb, by the way? Some people think it's a worldly proverb. It's actually lifted from the scripture. Red sky in the morning, what? Sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailors what? Delight. What does that mean? Because if the sky is red and threatening in the morning, sailors know a storm is coming. And so they prepare.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The last six verses of chapter 12 is essentially the Messiah's admonition to know the signs of the times. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Weather or Not Channel.
When we talk about weather or not channel, what are we speaking about? Well, it's very significant about what Jesus is talking about today. And I think God has given us the weather to drive home the message this morning. In Luke chapter 12, verse 54, Jesus said, as he spoke to the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising up out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, it's going to be hot weather, and so it is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves? Do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him or settle the account with him, lest he drag you to the judge drag you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. What is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about the weather? Or is he talking about the events of the last days and us, if it's not the last days specifically, about us living the course of our lives? You know, we love Bible prophecy. God speaks about the future. No other book in human history speaks about the future as the Bible does. No other writing comes close. I invite you to try as you may. You can pick all other religious authors of all time, and none of them have got the guts to prophesy prophetic events, that is, future events, but the Bible. And some have stolen passages from the Bible to try to add a little bit of credibility to their lie, but they fumble every time. The Bible stands alone as God's word to man. But how do we know? How can we be sure? Many ways, but in line with our study this morning, the Bible tells us about the future. Jesus is speaking about the future. Not only the future that you and I live in today, but the future of those who were listening to him 2,000 years ago. Because whenever the gospel goes out and there's an opportunity for you and I to make a decision about Jesus Christ, know this, that the greatest prophetic doctrine of all is coming to your ears when you hear someone tell you about Jesus. Did you notice that some people, maybe it was all of us at some point in time, we don't want to hear about Jesus. We don't want to hear about it. Oh no, here comes one of those Christians. They're going to tell me about Jesus. Have you noticed that it is such an issue? It's something that kind of drives you up the wall if you're not willing to accept or to listen. It's a spiritual issue. So what Jesus is speaking about, he's not giving them a weather report. It's not the weather channel. It's the weather or not channel of what you're listening and who you're listening to. Jesus said, when you look around this world, when you look outside, you begin to make decisions based upon the weather that's around us. You guys remember that proverb, by the way? Some people think it's a worldly proverb. It's actually lifted from the scripture. Red sky in the morning, what? Sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailors what? Delight. What does that mean? Because if the sky is red and threatening in the morning, sailors know a storm is coming. And so they prepare. If the sky after a storm begins to break up and the sunset is red, then you know the storm is passing. Good weather's ahead. The same is true, Jesus is saying, regarding spiritual things of life. He said people have the ability to step outside and to look around and to feel the wind, to look at the sky, and to make a determination. I remember, and maybe you were with us, we were taking a tour of this church through Israel, and we were in Jerusalem one day, and an unexpected wind came. And it was absolutely amazing because it blew, began to blow harder and harder and harder. It began to kick up dust, and then the temperature plummeted. We all got back to the Jerusalem Hilton there, went to bed, woke up the next morning to a strange silence. We couldn't hear anything going on in the city. I remember looking out the window of my room. I mean, Lisa and I, our room, looked out the window, and Jerusalem was blanketed in about 3 inches of snow. And it shut everything down. It was so beautiful. But how were people knowing to stay indoors and to get ready? Because a strong wind was blowing and things were changing. Church, things are changing in the world today if you haven't caught on. Please hear me out. The world that you and I live in today is rapidly changing. This world, this nation, 20 years ago was so different than it is today. And you say, well, things happen. There's always things changing. Listen, change is happening. It's not because I'm getting older and I'm looking around. Things are going on, and the world today is in a panic because of change. Look what's going on. We'll talk about that. Jesus said these things are warnings to us. As he approaches the cross, you remember that in Luke chapter 9, Jesus was saying there that we must go to Jerusalem now. And the Bible says that he set his face like flint to Jerusalem because he said, my time is nearing. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to be betrayed and beaten and crucified and on the third day be resurrected from the dead. He knew all that. And from that moment on, in Luke chapter 9, he begins to speak and teach strong words. Church, do you remember the message from last week? I hope you were here. Anybody here last week? Three of you? That's great. Glad you came back. Great to have you back. What did Jesus say concerning him coming into the world? He shocked us, did he not? When he said, don't think I've come to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. He said, wait a minute, I thought he was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. But he said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I tell you, I came to bring a sword, division. Because when the word of God goes out, he said, there'll be five people living in one house. It'll wind up being three against two and two against three after they hear the gospel. A mom and a son may accept the Lord, or a father and a daughter may accept the Lord, and the house becomes divided. Jesus was saying, you need to pick and choose because this world is not all that there is. There's going to come a time when the family is no more, when marriage is no more, when time is no more, and your decision for eternal life would have been made. He continues on with these strong sayings, and we know this, that the knowledge that we can have of the Bible is a forecast about tomorrow. Will you jot that down? Verses 54 to 56. He is announcing to us that the Bible tells us about tomorrow's forecast. This way, Jesus warned that clouds would be increasing. Not physical clouds. He used that as a picture. If you see the clouds forming in the sky, that means things are changing. If you see clouds forming on the earth, things are changing. That there's a storm coming. And in verse 54, he said, whenever you see a cloud rising up out of the west, immediately you say showers are coming. And it is so. It's just like that. Just like we do. In fact, if you've ever again been to Israel, Southern California is like a snapshot of Israel. We grow the same crops. We grow the same trees. We have the same temperatures. What else? We have a coastline right here. And we have snow-capped mountains right there. And Israel and Southern California is the only place in the world that you can go surfing in the morning and go snow skiing in the afternoon. Did you know that? Israel, you can do the same thing. It's absolutely amazing. So much alike. Our storms predominantly come right out of the west or come up from looping around from the south or from the north, but they enter to us most often right from the coast onto the shore. And Jesus is saying, when you see the wind begin to blow like that, you know things are changing. And he's asking us this morning as Christians, when you see things changing in the world, you need to sit up and take notice because time is running close. He warns us. And church, this morning, you are either in tune with what's going on and you're monitoring the world. And I hope you are as a diligent Christian believer with newspaper open, Bible open, you're looking at the events of this world. Why? God told us to be alert to the times in which we live. But there'd be clouds increasing. Storms would be coming. Jesus said in John 13, 19, I tell you that before it comes to pass, and when it does come to pass, you will believe that I am he. God prophesies the future, and he warns us that increasing clouds of difficulty would be coming. America is at a place, and the Western world for that matter, the entire world for that matter, is at a place that it has never seen before. There are things going on both geologically through earthquakes and through storms and activities of the atmosphere. My goodness, just before I came out here, there was a thing on the Fox News that some spy satellite is supposed to fall out of the sky and land someplace. Oh boy, that's just great. Get your umbrella out. A satellite's coming down. Things are just absolutely, the economy around the world, things that are going on, violence around the world. Who would have thought that in the 21st century, anti-Semitism, hatred against Jews, and the destruction of the nation Israel would be sweeping the globe again, and yet it absolutely is. Isn't it bizarre? The Bible warns that in the last days, now think about this, the Bible says, and who would have thought, the Bible says in the last days, evil will arise, there'll be false religions, and those who don't submit in Revelation 13 to a world-dominating religion to come, those who do not submit, the Bible says, will be beheaded for their rejection of that cult-like faith. And you and I are living in the 21st century, and we can see and hear about these things today. The Bible is absolutely accurate all the time because it's God's message to us. He said clouds would increase. Things would become more strenuous upon the earth. Secondly, devastating effects would come upon the world. Jesus said, when you see the south wind blow, there will be hot weather, you say, and so it is, hypocrites. Now, he's not being mean right here. He's not making fun of them. He's saying, hypocrites, in this light, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you cannot discern, market student in the Bible? Not the time, not the times, though that applies to us today, but 2,000 years ago, he said, what? This time. Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to be experiencing devastating effects all because of the fact that I am standing before you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, how is it that you are rejecting, not catching, missing, not aware of the fact of this time? You say, well, Jack, what was he holding them accountable to? From this moment on, Jesus will repeatedly hold the nation of Israel accountable for knowing the scriptures. He's approaching, heading towards Palm Sunday. Read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The prophet foretold that Israel will be able to identify her Messiah because he'll ride in Jerusalem on a donkey that has never been ridden before, on the back of a little colt, a donkey. And that was about to happen. Isaiah prophesied that Israel would know their Messiah because when he would come, he would raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, and cleanse the lepers. Moses even prophesied that when that day of miracle would happen, where a leper would be cleansed, this is what you do. And Jesus said to the lepers who were cleansed, go do what Moses said on the day of your cleansing. Isn't that awesome? The Bible, bang, 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 over and over again, so clear. So, not that you might ignorantly side with the Bible. God gave you a brain. He wants us to use it. He wants us to open up the Bible and judge the world around us with an open Bible and judge the Bible by what's going on around us. Is not what happens in any given life, you can point the chapter and verse of scriptures. Yes. But as things escalate, Jesus gave great warning that there'd be global devastations coming upon the earth. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, named NOAA, Caltech, other areas of study are telling us that for the last 25 years, there's been a parallel increase of super storms and super earthquakes that the world has never seen before. Then we've got the issue of global warming and all that stuff that's going on about that. Listen, I personally, the Bible says concerning the environment that it's going to go crazy. In fact, Romans chapter 1 tells us that people will get their eyes off of God and begin to worship the creation instead of the creator. Is the globe warming or not? Well, I don't know if it's warming or not. It's not warming up here very much. We've had three winters of record cold temperatures. So I don't know what Al Gore's doing, but I don't know about global warming. I just know this. As a Christian, I should be a good steward of this earth, but I better not consider and regard this earth as my home. I'm not staying here. This earth, God made it. He's responsible for it. But the Bible says that the sea will eventually begin to roar in ways that it will bring about fear in the hearts of men. Amazing things. And so we want to be very careful. Jesus warns, he says, hypocrites, and again, he's not mocking them. The word hypocrite in Greek means you have one face on your skin, but you put an altogether different face in front of the public. You're happy about something, but you act like you're sad about it. Or you're sad about something, but you act like you're happy about it. Jesus said, listen, you guys, wake up. I mean, he's not saying that to you. He's saying that to them back then. Of course he's saying it to us. He says, wake up, look around, check out the weather. It means things are changing. Check out the days and the times in which you live. Things are happening. Don't walk around being sad about, oh, look at these events. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Look at the stock market. Look at all this thing that's going on. Look at the dollar. Look at all this stuff that's happening. And then act like nothing's happening. It doesn't mean you're all supposed to be dragging your face around in the dust. It means that you're to look up because your redemption draws near. This is an amazing time. The Christian who understands this and can read the signs of the times, it's pretty exciting days. Yes, there's a lot going on, but God told us these things would happen. So we have hope. Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, answering, and he said to them, take heed that nobody deceives you. They asked him, when's the end of the world coming, Jesus? Everybody wants to ask that question, but nobody will ask it. But everybody thinks about it. And you say, how do you know? Because go to the checkout stand. The Inquirer magazine will tell you, when's the end of the world? Everybody wants to know. Jesus says, I'll tell you what, just calm down. It ain't going to happen just yet. There are going to be some things that have got to happen first. And they said, what is it? What is the sign of your coming? And what can we expect when you return? And he said, okay, I'll tell you. Take heed that nobody deceives you. There's going to be grand deception. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And in other words, offering other religions than what Jesus has provided at the cross for eternal life. And they will deceive many people. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled, because all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Really? Yes. He says why in verse 7. For or because nation will rise against nation. That's not Canada against America. The word is ethnos will be against ethnos. Ethnicities will fight against ethnic groups. Whites against blacks. Blacks against Hispanics. Hispanics against whites. Asian. The whole thing, Jesus said, is going to start trending downward to a very, very divided world. That's sad. That's what happens, by the way. You know, I love the fact that when the Bible's taught, young people and old people come to hear it. White people, black people, green people, yellow people, red people, blue people. You pick a color. When the Bible's taught, people want to gather around the Bible. God is absolutely colorblind, and I love it. The Bible says that there's no division now between Jew or Gentile in Christ. Gentile is every one of us who's not a Jew. Jesus Christ tears down the wall of division. It's a horrible thing to think that, well, you know, we're a white church, or we're a black church, or we're a red church, or we're a yellow church. How about that there's a church that Jesus died for, and when we believe in him, we come together in Christ, and all that petty junk goes away, and justice is served, love is extended, grace is known, and people, because their eyes are focused on Christ, are independent and irregardless of colors and positions. Well, we're a rich church or we're a poor church. Jesus said, watch out for such things. There'll be ethnic groups against ethnic groups in the last days, and political kingdoms against political kingdoms. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and hardship and kill you, and you'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake, Jesus said. In Luke 21:26, he said, when these things begin to come upon the earth, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. We can go off on that forever. I won't do it. I'll spare you of that. But think about everything. The Bible warns about a day when there's going to be a need for one global currency to be created. Well, you can't have euros and dollars and pesos and whatevers when you have one currency coming. And then what about, the Bible says, the nations of the world will be against Israel in the last days. How many nations of the world? All the nations of the world. The Bible says when Israel comes under attack in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, how many nations come to help Israel when she's under attack? Anybody know? None. including America, what will happen? Will it be because of the rapture and America's devastated? I don't know. That'd be nice. I think it's possibly because America has gotten too weak and unable to respond to Israel's needs, let alone her own needs. We're in a time like never before. On a global scale, you say, no, it's like 1929 all over again. No, this is global in a different way. And plus, there are other circumstances that would speak that these are very, very trying days. Jesus said, when you see these things, Mark 13:29, you need to know that it's about to happen and my coming is at the door. Wow. Well, also this, knowing the biblical forecast for tomorrow, I understand Jesus warns about a false sense of security, increasing clouds of storms coming, devastating effects upon the world, and also a false sense of peace and safety. Jesus says, you hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you can't discern this time? And I need you to hear this loud and clear. Church, listen carefully. Have you ever said or had somebody say to you, you know, he's coming like a thief in the night, you know. You better be careful when you say that. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us. Verse 1 there. Paul the Apostle says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, the context is his return. You have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly, listen, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon who? Them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Weather or Not Channel. It's a study taken from the last six verses of Luke chapter 12 and part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we have Pastor Jack with us sitting right here because he's got something on his heart that he wants to share with us. Pastor Jack?
That's right, Mike. I had to interrupt this program, as you well know, Mike, to make this plea to our radio audience. We had an event, and I can honestly say it was an event, at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills recently on Saturday night, September 11th. As every year we do, we host a 9/11 memorial service, but this year topped them all. The reason why is because we had an old friend back, and that was Brigitte Gabriel. And Brigitte Gabriel spoke to a record crowd here at Calvary. We lost count at over 4,500 people. The church was filled, parking lots overflowing, rooms and courtyard full to the max. And she delivered a challenge and a message to America and to the Christian that, frankly, everyone, in my opinion, in the world needs to hear. I'm asking all of our radio listening audience to get their hands on this extremely special service. You will understand why 9/11 took place. Why did it have to happen regarding those who have waged war and declared war on America? And what can be our action? What do we do in response to this agenda that is driven by hate? It's not going away, my friend, and I'm telling you now, you've got to have this message for yourself. You can order your own copy by going to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and order for yourself a DVD copy of this tremendous address by Brigitte Gabriel on September 11th, right here at Calvary Chapel, and we'll send that out to you for a donation of any amount. We would greatly appreciate that. So God bless you, and I hope you're blessed by it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, again, that's for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. Again, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.